Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here today. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Faith Life Church friends that for coming. Thank you, my second family, for coming. Thank you for being here today, all my Christian Life Center family today. It was cute. I was talking to Natalie about a week or two ago, and she said, you know, we are family here, Julie. And she's so right. It's this family. We're going to be together a very, 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 very long, 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 long time, aren't we? So we might as well just enjoy each other, right? So I don't know about you, but I'm believing the prophets, and we are going to prosper as we believe the prophets over our nation and what they're declaring, and I am believing with them, and I'm just excited about what God's going to do in this next month. Praise the Lord. But I just, you know how you have things on your heart that are just that you can't get away from it, and that's how I am about today's service. So I'm just going to pray and let the Holy Spirit move, okay? Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this time together, Lord. I thank you that you anoint me, Father, to speak only what you want spoken, Father. And I just thank you that for this opportunity, and I just praise you and thank you, and that may everything that I say give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Dad, one time, he was preaching, and he told my mom, he said, I've been studying and I've been preaching. He said, but I got to change my whole message. He said, because that's not what the Lord wants me to say. And that message, he doesn't realize this, but that day you changed your message. Everything you said that day was right for me. So thank you, Pastor. So I don't know who needs this message, but God has a way. The Holy Spirit has a way of bringing something out and putting it right in your lap for what you need. It may just be one phrase. It may be just one paragraph. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you exactly what you need to take away for food for your spiritual diet. Praise the Lord. So I'm just believing that that's what he's going to do today for you. So my message today is, it's the motive that matters. It's the motive that matters. And everywhere I've looked for the past 2 months, this isn't just this past week, for the last 2 months, if I turn on a YouTube video, it's about motive. If I open Faith to Faith, my devotional, it's about motives. And I'm like, Lord, you must be trying to teach me something. So I am going to speak on motives today, the motive of your heart. In 1 Samuel 16:7, you don't have to turn there, but it says, for the Lord seeth, not as the man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Praise God. Aren't you glad he looks on the heart? So if you remember correctly, and Samuel was going, he was still mourning and grieving after Saul, and he had gone. God told him, he said, I don't know why you're still mourning over Saul. Go to the house of Jesse, and I'm going to anoint my king. I'm going to anoint a king through your hands. So he goes to Jesse, and he finds the first boy out of eight, right? And he says, man, this must be the one. Look how big he is. Look how strong he is. He's a good-looking boy. He's a big guy. He must be the king. And God said, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. He's not the one. So seven more guys, Jesse shows them all, son. And the Lord keeps saying, no, that's not the one. No, that's not the one. So finally he says, don't you have any more sons? And he says, well, I've got one left, David. He's out in the field tending the sheep. And what was David out there doing? He was slaying the giant and the bear. He was singing to the Lord, delighting himself in the Lord. He would sing psalms and while he was tending those sheep. And he would just rejoice and be worshiping the Lord. And that's what God wanted. He wanted someone that had a heart for him. It didn't matter how big he was or how he looked on the outward. It was his heart that God wanted. And so he went after, Samuel went to David and anointed him as king. And it didn't look like he was king for a while. He was still tending the sheep for quite some time. But for one day, it happened. It came to pass, didn't it? So God doesn't look like we see things. He doesn't look at things like we see them. He doesn't look at you sometimes how you see yourself. He doesn't look at you from your past, where you've been, what you've done, the bad things. A lot of us have scars on our hearts, but he looks at you like you're his child, that you're the king's child. He looks at you like royalty. He looks at you through his eyes, not through your eyes. So have anybody ever heard the commercial, "What's in your wallet?" Capital One says, "What's in your wallet?" The world says, "What's in your wallet?" as to say, are you successful? What do you look like to say, are you going to be accepted or rejected? But God says, what's in your heart? If we could all have a hinge today on our heart and just open it up and see what's inside, what would be inside? Not the heart that beats with blood, that facilitates to all your faculties. Not that heart, but the heart of hearts, your spirit man. If we could open it up with a hinge and we could see each other's hearts, would we want to turn away, or would we have an open heart? So I just say to you today, let's look and examine our hearts today, our hearts, our motives, motives that matter, motives, the secret inner put, why do we do the things that we wanted, that we do? What is the motive of our heart? You know, the disciples were on the road, and they were bickering amongst themselves, and they were saying, who would be the greatest? They were bickering amongst themselves. Well, I think I'm going to be the greatest. And the other one's like, well, I think I should preach today. And the other one said, well, I think you shouldn't preach, and I should preach. And, you know, so they're bickering on the way down the road. And Jesus stops them and says, in Mark chapter 9, verse 33, it says, then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, this is Jesus, he asked them, just as Jesus talking, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? So he's asking them, what were you guys talking about? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, and he called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be the last of all and servant of all. We used to have a little song in Sunday school that used to sing, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, be the servant of all. And the next thing he did, not too far many days hence after that, he got down at the upper room and he washed the disciples' feet. He took a towel and he washed their dirty feet when they, in the natural, should have been washing his feet. He became the servant and kneeled down and washed their feet. That's something a servant would do in that time frame. And he got down and washed their dirty feet. Washed the dirt from their feet and said, this is how the kingdom of God is. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to serve. You have to give. You have to do what God has called you to do with a humble heart. Not to be seen of men, but with a humble heart. Give just because you want to give. Love just because it's the right thing to do. So the world doesn't see things like we see things. The world sees success as how much money do you make? How pretty are you? How handsome are you? How successful are you? What's your job? What's the title? What's your title? What do you do for a living? But God, he says, show me your heart. Show me your heart. Show me your heart. In Matthew 6, most of us are very familiar with this verse, these verses in Matthew 6, this chapter. But he says, Jesus said, when you give. And then he said, when you pray. And then he said, when you fast. Now, the first thing I see about that is he says, when. So it's not an if, like, oh, if you ever pray or if you have. This is Jesus' words in Matthew 6, and he's saying, when you, so that means we're supposed to give, we're supposed to pray, and we're supposed to fast. I don't like that one, the fast one, I don't like that one, but that, we're supposed to. He wants us to. It's actually a command, right? So he says, when you do these things. So let's just read it in chapter 6. Verse 1, these are the words of Jesus. He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. See, they were giving to be seen by men, not out of the goodness of their heart. Surely, he said, I say to you, they have their reward already. That's what they wanted. They wanted to be seen by men. So guess what? That was it. That's all they were getting. That's all the reward they were getting. He said, but when you do a charitable deed, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do it in secret. You don't have to let anybody know what you're doing. He said that your charitable deed may be seen in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. What you do in private will be rewarded openly. And then when you pray, he said, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say that they have their reward. But when you pray, he said, you go into your room and you shut the door. And when you have shut the door, you pray to your Father who sees in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you what? Openly. He'll reward you openly. And then he goes on in verse 16, he says, moreover, when you fast, he said, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. He said, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. These are still the words of Jesus. He says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you don't appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who sees in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you what? Openly. He's going to reward you openly. So whatever you do in your secret place, that's where you get it done. You know how some people think, well, you're just an overnight wonder. No, they didn't see the hours behind what you did in private. If you're willing to do what most people won't do, and you're willing to go places most people won't go, you'll have other things that other people won't have. So if you're getting up early and spending time with the Lord and your day goes great and the person next to you is not, they haven't seen that you've been with the Father in the morning. You've been with Father God in the morning and your day is set. It is set. You've been with the Holy Spirit and he's given you marching orders for the day. He's given you peace like a river. And when other people around you don't have peace, they're like, why are you so happy? People that we work with, Annette told Annette, you're happy all the time. She is happy all the time. Praise the Lord. We've got the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Praise God. So in this scripture, the whole thing is motive. When you give, when you pray with a good motive, when you fast, he's going to reward you openly. His rewards are great. His rewards are better than Capital One. His rewards are better than MasterCard. His rewards are better than we can ask, think, or imagine, because he does exceedingly abundantly above we can ask and think or imagine. He is the God of the exceedingly abundantly. When you ask, he doesn't give you just what you want. He gives you the best. He gives you more. I love what Dad always says, Pastor says, he says, God is a God, he's a multiplier, and he adds and multiplies. The devil subtracts and divides. And that's so true. That is so true. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Jensen Franklin says this, and I love this. He said that this scripture, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, he said, this is the 30, 60, 100 fold. And when you think of that, you know, I always wonder, I'm like, well, how do you get who gets the 30, who gets the 60, who gets the 100-fold return? And we're not talking materialistically, because if you look at this scripture, when you give, that's a soulish thing. So it's spirit, soul, and body. When you give, your mind is the calculator, and it's like, man, I work for this money. I don't want to give that money. So when you give out of a good heart, that is your soulish area coming in line with God's word, right? So you're giving, and that's 30-fold, right? But when you pray, that's your spirit man, right? Spirit, soul, body. That's your spirit when you pray. Then you jump it up to the 60-fold. And then when you fast, that's when your 100-fold comes in, because that's your flesh man getting put under, right? So 30, 60, 100-fold. And I love that, because I always wondered about that. I'm like, who gets the 30, who gets the 60, and who gets the 100? When you've got your spirit, soul, and body seeking after the things of God and doing things in private where nobody else is seeing them, giving, fasting, and praying, then you will receive the 100-fold. When you have them all going at the same time, you're going to receive the hundredfold. And you say, well, a hundredfold in money? No, a hundredfold in everything, blessings. I call it the sweet spot. The sweet spot is says when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Say that with me. Say, if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. Do you know what that means? That means when you think it, it shall come to pass. That means when you say it, your words won't fall to the ground. He will not let your words fall. He will not let your thoughts fall. And he will supply every need. Praise God. Spirit, soul, and body. It's like a fine oil machine cranking, a turbo engine blasting you off. Praise God. So what I'm saying today, the 30, 60, 100, there is a place in God. I remember Dr. Oral Roberts said there's a thousandfold. And I didn't understand what he meant at that. Now I get it. It's when your thoughts, when you just think I want something and it comes to be. When you say something out of the, because his words are spirit, therefore your words are spirit. He says my words are spirit and they are life. So when you speak his words out of your mouth, your words are spirit and they are life. So he's not going to let anything fall to the ground, not your words, not your thoughts, your health, everything. It's all inclusive. It's all inclusive, the 3,600 fold, praise God. I have an example of this. Barbie and Annette didn't know they were going to be in my sermon, but yesterday I was at The Terrain. It's one of my favorite places to go. It's called The Terrain Restaurant, and it's a gift shop, and it's a nursery. I love plants. I treat plants like people treat their pets. I go in, and I say, okay, guys, it's time to worship the Lord. I like the trees of the field. Clap their hands. Come on. And I talk to my plants, and everybody, my mom, Chloe and Cole are like, Mom, you think you got enough plants? So I love my plants like people love their pets. But I tell you what, yesterday I was at this restaurant with some girlfriends, and I didn't have time to look around like I do. It's like, it's a nursery. It's just beautiful. It's got plants. Annette calls it a magical little place. It is a magical little place. It's just beautiful. It's lovely. So I didn't get a chance to shop yesterday because I knew I had to speak today, and I had a couple errands to do for Aunt Carolyn. I need to go to Mom and Dad's and do something. So I was like, I don't got time to shop today, but I have a gift card. And I'm like, man, I want to use it, but I don't have time. So I left the store. We ate, and I left, and I'm looking at it, and I thought, man, I'd love to have a rosemary bush. I'd really love to have that, but you just don't have time to shop right now, Julie. And we had this lavender tea, and I thought, man, I could grow some lavender and make this lavender tea. And I thought, so I'm thinking all these things, and so I got home, and I'm studying, I'm praying in my house, and I hear this doorbell ring. And I immediately called Annette because I'm thinking, this better be Annette, because if it's not, nobody else comes to my door. So I'm thinking, Annette, is this you at the door? And she said, yes, it is. We're right outside. And they had brought me, this is no joke, a rosemary plant and a lavender plant. Now, I don't think that they knew that I was going to preach. They didn't know I was going to preach on this today. But you guys were angels of the Lord yesterday. I mean, think about it. I thought it, and it came to pass. It came to pass. And I could tell you, and that is in my world because we work together, I could tell you hundreds of stories just like that. So I'm going to use some props today. Just hold on a second. I need my shoe and my pillow. I'm sorry, Dad. I got it. Okay. So I had this shoe right here. I saw my Aunt Cheryl in Florida had these shoes. They're Crocs. And I wanted them. I saw them, and I was like, oh, man, I'd really like to have those shoes. And I couldn't find them anywhere. I looked online. I looked everywhere for these shoes. Could not find them. You know, you can find anything online, right? eBay, somewhere. Somebody's got them. So about a year later, I'm helping my Aunt Carolyn unpack her house pack her house to get ready to move. And she goes, Julie, look at that. Look in that box right there. And she goes, you might want them. And I opened them up. And it was the exact shoe that I wanted. The exact one. And I thought, well, let me see if it fits. Because she wears a 7 and I wear an 8. I put it on, and it fit perfectly like a glove. And I said, Lord, you did that just for me. I was like, you're so great. I was like, you're so good. But I'm telling you, he will give you the desires of your heart. And you all have stories. That's right. It's awesome. So I got, this is my favorite of all stories that's happened lately. It's my pillow story. So here's my pillow. So I was moving into my new house and in Delaware, and I needed king-size pillows. And I had always wanted a king-size bed because I always wanted the kids to be able to come and hop in bed with me and us laugh like we always do. We laugh and we tease and we just, you know, have a good time. So I thought, man, I'd love to have a king-size bed so they can just, you know, just sit on my bed and we can talk about great things. So I got a king-size bed, but then I needed king-size pillows. And I didn't have king-size pillows. So I thought, well, Lord, I need king-size pillows. So Annette calls me. She goes, Julie, there's really good king-size pillows at Costco. But I had been running around that day for mom and dad. I think I'd gone to the grocery store, something like that, a couple things. And I knew I wasn't going to make it to Costco in time. And Chloe and I are in line at, like, a Home Goods. And if anybody has ever been to Home Goods, you know that there's, like, this sucker trap on the way out. And it has aisles of things on both sides that usually attract women to buy things, which really always happens to Chloe and I. We always usually buy something on the way out. And it's a really long line. And there's like little gadgets and all kinds of little things on the way out they want you to buy, right? So they're going to line that aisle that you have to get to those registers with stuff. And it's really cool stuff too. And so they had stuff on both sides. And so I know I'm not going to get to Costco and I'm really bummed about my pillows. And so, but I'm like, all right, well, I just will get them another time. So I said, Chloe, I forgot washcloths, and I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to go back out. And, you know, there's tons of people behind you in line. I turn around. This is no joke. We had just walked 5 feet up, and I said, Chloe, I think I'm going to go get some washcloths. I'm going to turn around. I turned around, and there was two pillowcases on the ground in plastic that were the same brand as the bed, the king-size bed I just got. Now, I know. That's awesome, isn't it? Now, everybody's like, Julie, come on. That was just a coincidence. I said to everybody, are these your pillows? I said, are these your pillows? No, they're not my pillows. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, what are they doing in the floor? And I saw Long and Foster, the name of Long and Foster. I was like, they're my pillows. That's what they are. So I picked them up, and I took them out. And I'm telling you what, I've never seen that brand at Home Goods ever. Ever. I've never seen that brand. But guess what? It was the exact brand of my bed. Now, let me tell you, if God cares about your pillows and he cares about your flip-flops, doesn't he care about the things that you're caring about, the people in your life that you're concerned about? Doesn't he care? He says the seed of the righteous is blessed. Your seed that you're caring about, that you're holding in your heart, that you're saying, God, save them, heal them, deliver them. He cares about what you care about. And let me tell you, if he can care about a pillow, me having a stupid pillow, he can care. He cares about what you're thinking about. He knows the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Praise God, the first and the last. God bless you today. Hallelujah. So I say today, what is the right motive? The right motive is to bring glory to God, not yourself. Not about what I'm doing or what I'm saying. It's about loving. It's about giving. It's about praying. It's about who you think about during the day. Pray for them immediately. If somebody's on your heart, pray for them. Pray for them. That's why God's putting them on your heart. Praise God. Praise God. A Trappist monk told some Catholic nuns who told Derek Prince's wife, who told Derek Prince, who put this thing all over the world. He said, pray not to be esteemed. That's your flesh. He said, pray not to be secure. That's your soulish area. Pray not to be in control, but pray that the Holy Spirit is in control. Isn't that good? I'm going to say it again. Pray not to be esteemed. That's your flesh man. Pray not to be secure. Your soulish man. Pray not to be in control, meaning your spirit. But let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Isn't that awesome? He was so cute. Derek Prince said, you know, he said, I learned right there. He said that if God wants a word out, he can get it out to whoever he wants. He said, because a Trappist monk told some Catholic nuns. The Catholic nuns told my wife. My wife told me, and I've sent that message around the whole world. He said to over 30 countries has heard that message. Isn't that awesome? God can get you where you need to be. God can put the thing in your heart where it needs to be. I just heard a story of Mattel, a guy that owns Mattel. Remember there was a pastor, I think, in Orlando, and he couldn't figure out. He had many services a day, and it was wearing his staff out, and he didn't know what to do, and he kept praying and praying. He's like, Lord, what am I going to do? We can't have enough services in this building, and the township wouldn't give them a bigger building. They wouldn't give him a bigger lot. He was having trouble, and he said he kept wanting to talk to this guy that was a CEO of Mattel that was in his church, but he had not been a Christian very long. And he said he kept thinking about it. And the guy finally talked to him. He said, you know, I feel like God wants me to talk to you about my problem here. And so he did. And he said, I'll get back to you in a week. So the CEO from Mattel said, I'll get back to you in a week. And in a week later, he said, you know, I think you need to do campus church. He said, and do not one big building, he said, but do campus church where you have a building all over. He said, because people in general won't come more than 22 miles to church. He said, that's the average, that's the norm. And he said, if you do campus church, and that was the birth of campus churches. So it just takes one word from God to change your life. One word from God to be the answer. One thing that he puts on your heart, praise God, to give you what you need to put you on the right path. Only one word from God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To keep your motives pure, you have to have a renewed mind. And we all know that to renew our minds, anybody that's been in this church for any length of time or any church, to renew your mind means take the washing of the water by the word. Praise God. So we put the word in and the word comes out. An unrenewed mind says, what's in it for me? What's in this for me? That's what an unrenewed mind says. How great can I get? How much can I lift myself up? That's what an unrenewed mind says. And a renewed mind says, what can I give? Who can I love? Example of this would be a marriage. Can you imagine if both partners gave 100% all the time? We wouldn't have a divorce rate. We wouldn't have anybody getting a divorce if both parties. But what happens is one person's usually the giver and one person's usually the taker. I'm not saying in every marriage, but I'm saying in a lot. So what happens is if both people would wake up and say, how, not materially, but how am I going to make your life better today? How am I going to make something easier for you? How am I going to give to you today? How am I going to do that? We wouldn't have the divorce rate that we have today. Praise God. Acceptable motive is to do the will of the Father in every dispensation, whether it be before Jesus came or after, is obedience. Just to do what the will of the Father wants you to do. You wake up, you say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to today? The obedience, the acceptable motive is the will of the Father. What if Jesus hadn't listened to the Father? We would all be on our way to hell. Because if he hadn't laid his life down and paid that ultimate price for us and done the will of the Father, we would all not be here today. We would all not be here today. So praise God. So it's the will of the Father is the acceptable motive for, that's right, amen. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. An example of this is Balaam in the Bible. Now Balaam gave miraculous gifts and words of prophecy concerning Israel. I mean, he was a prophet, but he's mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. His motivation was the love of money, and it cost him his soul. Isn't that something? So you can say, you know, the Bible says, it says, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name. We've cast out demons. And he says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. So you can speak in tongues all you want. You can prophesy. You can do all those things. But if your heart, the motives of your heart aren't right, then he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. That's a tough pill to swallow, but it's tight, but it's right. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, I never saw that before. I never realized Balaam had was the love of money that was the issue there. I never realized that. Make sure that we operate in the Holy Spirit. That's number three. Make sure we operate in the Holy Spirit. Corrie ten Boom said this. This is so good because you all in here are all seasoned men and women of God. And this is such an excellent thing. She said, the Lord's work in your own strength is most confusing, exhausting, and tedious work. That is the truth. If you're not doing it in the Spirit, it is tedious, isn't it? But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. That's what Corrie ten Boom said. Isn't that great? I'm going to say it again. The Lord's work in your own strength is most confusing, exhausting, and tedious work of all. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. This is the best part. What happens to the pure in heart? What happens to you when you're pure in heart? Besides, you live in the sweet spot. And that spot's a good spot, let me tell you. Besides you living in the sweet spot, he said that the pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart see God. Isn't that awesome? And isn't that what we want anyway? Let's think about that. I'll never forget. I was going through a really hard time in my life, and I was crying. I was on the way to the beach, and I never will forget it. The Lord said to me, if you could see me right now, none of this would matter. And he was right. He was right. I immediately melted and cried. I cried hot tears because he was right. I was worrying about stuff that didn't amount to anything. And he said, if you could see me right now, none of this would matter. None of this would matter. How many times do we talk about things that don't matter? How many times do we speak against people? And that's not what God wants us to do. He just wants us to love, and he wants us to be his mouthpiece in the world. He wants you to be his mouthpiece in the world. That's what he's called you to do. So when we talk about others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, it just takes our shield down. It takes our shield of faith down. It leaves you vulnerable to the enemy. It leaves you vulnerable to the wickedness of this generation. The days are evil, so we have to keep about our Father's business. The pure in heart live in the sweet spot. The pure in heart delight themselves in the Lord, and God gives them the desires of their heart. God says he won't let any of your words fall to the ground. And when you are walking in divine health, you will be the joy. He says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So spirit, soul, and body. If your motives are right, if you're pure in heart, you shall see God, and you will live in the sweet spot. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Give God some glory this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. I've asked Ann and Randy to get me a video. I'm just asking you today, I'm asking you that if you will just think about your heart for a little while today, this morning. It's 10 minutes long. This last little part is 10 minutes. And just think about what God wants to do in your heart. Don't think about what God wants to do in your husband's heart or in your kid's heart. Think about what he wants to do in your heart or your neighbor's heart. Think about what he wants to do in your heart. And as we sing these hymns, this is a hymn medley. I'm sure hoping that it can come up. And it's by Chandler Moore. They're some of my favorite worship people right now. Just, you know how you get somebody new and you're like, oh, I like them so much. Have you guys ever heard of Chandler Moore, Maverick City? Yeah. I really enjoy them. And so he's just singing hymns. And I didn't want the praise and worship team to have to go up because they're always facilitating and they're always giving out So that's the only reason I didn't ask you guys to get. So I'm hoping that it can come up. But I just say to you, look inside. I'm not going to tell you who, but somebody in our congregation said, the Lord told me to look in my heart. And she said, when I looked, it was black. And she said, and this person on the outside, you would never. This is like a pure in heart. I always call my, like Bobby, she's a pure in heart. Janice is a pure in heart. You know, we got pure in hearts all around us that, you know, Ann and John, I always tell them, don't get much better than you, Ann and John. And you know what I'm saying? Like, so we have people in our congregation that are so pure hearted. You know, we wouldn't know if anything is inside of them. We wouldn't know to look at you on the outside, to look at me. You don't know what's in my heart. You don't know. You can't see. I don't have a hinge on my door of my heart. So I just say to you, just look in your heart today and just see what's in there? And ask yourself, you know, you're the only one that has to live with you, really. You're the only one that has to live in your shoes. So praise God. Praise God. Go ahead and see if we can hit that. And just worship the Lord. It's just hymns, and it's just really precious, and you'll love it. There you go. That's it right there. There you go. You got it. We're making Randy run all over today. This is what happens when you ask things to do late. Praise God. Father, we just thank you. We just worship you. Amen.
Thank you for your consistency. You're faithful, you're faithful. You're faithful, you're faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my.
Delebrohonga, menzostistale, ristaco brangriste. Oh, la bacisto, nangarabosoto. Meshila broho sakatete. Oh, praise you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the spirit of heaviness has to go in Jesus' name. We say you breathe your life across this congregation today. I thank you, Father, that your words are our words and that your spirit is our spirit and that we will live according to your word. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Ho bahaste. Rishte konzale. Manso sahaha. O shaka pastole. Ringele bosto. Mashakanzo sasapate. Udi stele. O mangande. Ringola caste. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's our time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to do one more thing before we go. I want to pray over Barbie. Barbie's in a different, she's in a transition in her life. Praise God. She's in transition. And you're in the right place at the right time. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, just stretch your hands out to her. Father, I thank you the anointing of God is on her to destroy principalities. And I thank you, Father, that she will be in your perfect place wherever you want her to be.